This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of TKA aseptic loosening from the recon section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. TKA aseptic loosening is a macrophage-induced inflammatory response that results in bone loss and implant loosening in the absence of an infection. Diagnosis can be made with plain radiographs of the knee. Treatment is generally revision arthroplasty with exchange of all loose components. Now, let's get into the episode. With respect to etiology, steps in the process of TKA aseptic loosening include particulate debris formation, macrophage-activated osteolysis, prosthesis micromotion, and particulate debris dissemination. As far as pathophysiology, factors affecting wear rate of polyethylene in total knee arthroplasty include sterilization method, manufacturing method, that is conventional versus cross-linked, presence of third-body debris, motion between the modular tibial insert and metal tray, in other words, backside wear, roughness of the femoral component counterface, alignment and stability of the total knee arthroplasty, as well as demand or activity level of the patient. In terms of alignment and stability of the total knee arthroplasty, remember that malalignment causes asymmetric loading, which causes early loosening. This tends to be more frequent with varus rather than valgus malalignment. Moving on to the presentation of TKA aseptic loosening, in terms of symptoms, patients may be painless in early disease, however may have pain localized to the tissues around the loose components later on. Aggravating factors include weight bearing, and keep in mind that pain is often activity related. On physical exam, patients may have minimal pain with range of motion, however will have increased pain with weight bearing. Recommended views on radiographs include an AP, lateral, and oblique. On the AP, tibial osteolysis is readily visible. Femoral osteolysis may be difficult to detect on AP, as lesions are typically located in the posterior condyles and are obscured by the femoral component. The oblique view is often more helpful for identifying femoral osteolysis. Findings on radiographs can include a radiolucent area around the implant or cement with a sclerotic border, especially radiolucencies of greater than 2 millimeters. Other findings can include change in the position of the implant, that is varus or valgus subsidence of the tibial component, progressive widening of the cement bone or bone prosthesis interface, and cement cracking or fragmentation. CT scan and MRI are viable options for assessing larger osteolytic lesions to aid in preoperative planning. As far as other studies to obtain in the workup of TKA aseptic loosening, serum labs should include an ESR and CRP, which will both be normal. However, these are important to obtain to rule out infection. As far as the differential diagnosis for TKA aseptic loosening, again, it's critical to rule out a periprosthetic joint infection. Treatment of TKA aseptic loosening can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes observation, which is indicated for stable implants with minimal symptoms. Operative options include revision total knee arthroplasty. This is indicated for pain due to aseptic loosening, pain with evidence of osteolysis, and extensive osteolysis that would compromise revision surgery in the future. As far as the technique, in terms of bone graft, this is indicated for defects greater than 10 millimeters and is often used in younger patients to preserve bone stock. In terms of prosthetic metal wedges / augments, these are also indicated for defects greater than 10 millimeters, however, are often used in elderly low activity patients. Bone cement is indicated for smaller defects, and keep in mind that the heat released can cause thermal necrosis of surrounding bone and vascular tissue, which can potentially lead to aseptic loosening. To learn more details about the techniques for revision total knee arthroplasty, be sure to review the topic on orthobullets.com or look out for the podcast episode. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over one quick question to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic might be tested. A 67-year-old man who underwent knee arthroplasty 7 years ago now reports the recent onset of pain and swelling. He denies any recent illness or change in medical status. Examination of the knee reveals a moderate effusion, slight warmth when compared to the contralateral knee, and no tenderness. Pain is increased with weight bearing. Laboratory studies show a white blood cell count of 6,300 per cubic millimeter. Normal is 3,500 to 10,500 per cubic millimeter, a hemoglobin level of 10.1 grams per deciliter, an erythrocyte sedimentation rate of 25 millimeters per hour, normal is up to 20 millimeters per hour, C-reactive protein level of 0.3 milligrams per deciliter, normal is less than 0.5 milligrams per deciliter, and a uric acid level of 6.2 milligrams per deciliter, with normal being between 2.5 to 7 milligrams per deciliter. current postoperative radiographs reveal a radiolucent area around the femoral component with a sclerotic border. What is the most likely diagnosis? And the choices are 1, infection, 2, aseptic loosening, 3, osteolysis, 4, dislodgement of polyethylene, and 5, crystalline arthropathy. The correct answer to this question is 3, osteolysis. So osteolysis is being reported in the literature with increasing frequency. The incidence of osteolysis may be related to some variability in polyethylene manufacture, quality, sterilization, or storage. Increased rates have been associated with gamma sterilization in air, prolonged time on the shelf prior to implantation, and certain implant designs. Infection is unlikely given the near-normal erythrocyte sedimentation rate and CRP. There are no clear signs of loosening or disruption of the locking mechanism on the radiographs. Crystalline arthropathy is possible, but does not explain the lytic lesions on the radiographs. That's all for this review about TKA aseptic loosening. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.